Principal with a Promise, Elder Boyd K. Packer, Boyd K. Packer, Conference Report, April 1963, pages 106-109. In 1833 a revelation was given by the Lord to the Prophet Joseph Smith known as the Word of Wisdom, given as a principle with a promise. This principle has not been neglected by the leaders of the Church nor abandoned by them. It has been reaffirmed vigorously, as one theme of this conference, for we have learned that however much a generation of people learn a truth, it must be rediscovered by each succeeding generation. It is to the young people of our generation that I speak. Some may regard as trivial the assignment to speak to young people. I consider it otherwise and sense the meaning of an appeal made by the late President J. Reuben Clark, J.R., in speaking to the teachers of the Church. May he, President Clark said, give you entrance to the hearts of those you teach and then make you know that as you enter there you stand in holy places. Some young people, not members of the Church, may not be acquainted with the revelation known as the Word of Wisdom. It is simply this, a law of temperance. In it we are counseled by the Lord to refrain from the use of alcoholic beverages, any of them, tobacco in any form, and from hot drinks understood by the Church to mean those with habit-forming potential, specifically coffee and tea. Members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are expected to live this principle. The Lord has directed that observance of this principle is a condition of membership for one seeking baptism into His Church. For the member of the Church, compliance with this law is a prerequisite for the bestowal of the priesthood, for a call to missionary service, for temple endowments or temple marriage. You who are young members of the Church full well know that preliminary to such a call you will be interviewed, and the question will be put to you directly, do you keep the Word of Wisdom? If you must confess that you do not, and if there is reasonable doubt that you can honor a commitment to live the principle, your opportunity may be withheld from you. You may have difficulty, my young friends, understanding why the Lord should require His servants to hold so steadfastly to this rule, particularly when the use of alcohol, tobacco, and hot drinks is practiced so commonly in the world, and when we seem to run the risk of driving many fine young people from activity in the Church. Some say we are too persistent in stressing this principle, that indeed it has been overstressed. A principle with a promise such as this could hardly be overstressed. It may well have been stressed in a negative way, emphasizing only the don't. A father, censuring his little son for some mischief, demanded an explanation from the boy. Why, he said with exasperation, did you do such a thing? The little lad was thoughtful for a moment. Then, if I'd had a why, Daddy, I wouldn't have done it. It isn't always easy to give you a why for everything, but we owe it to you of the coming generation to do more than just say, don't. There are several whys for the Word of Wisdom. The first why concerns the effect upon your body. The case against tobacco is the killer in lung cancer, and the indictment for accident, death, and moral mischief returned against alcohol are so well substantiated that hardly anyone would wish to act as attorney for the defense when these two malefactors are brought to trial. The Word of Wisdom offers protection to your body. Part of the promise reads, and all saints who remember to keep and do these sayings, walking in obedience to the commandments, shall receive health in their navel and marrow to their bones, and shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint. But the greatest loss in failing to observe the Word of Wisdom is not what may happen to your lungs or to your brain or to your coordination. There is another why much more important even than this. No doubt you have noticed that some, who have achieved so-called success, have not kept the Word of Wisdom. For instance, you may know a businessman who provides generously for his family, and you know that he does not, or you may know of a political figure who seems to command the vote of the people in spite of known intemperance. You could hardly escape the example of the movie queen fair in face and figure who makes no effort to hide her dissipation, or the athlete who has run up impressive records, yet openly endorses one brand or another of these injurious agents. He seems to run without fainting. Your reason, and bewildered you may wonder why. How can this principle be so intensely important when so many people, some of them who have been taught otherwise, abuse the principle and yet seem immune from any penalties? You, my young friends, have a greater calling than that in the business world, or as a political figure, or as an athlete. Your opportunity is not so much in what you will contribute materially but in the influence that you may have spiritually. To those who keep the Word of Wisdom, the promise is given of wisdom and great treasures of knowledge, even hidden treasures. Our spiritual senses are more delicately balanced than any of our physical senses. Like a fine radio receiver with a sensitive tuning mechanism, they can easily be thrown off channel or even jammed by corrosive influences introduced into our minds and bodies. You, my young friends, can be sensitive to inspiration and spiritual guidance. To do this you need the wisdom and treasures of knowledge. They constitute a spiritual confirmation, your testimony of the truth. To have this witness fulfills the promise of the Lord. To be denied it is the penalty. There is yet another why, perhaps the most important of all. In the fourth verse of the Revelation we read, "Behold, verily, thus saith the Lord unto you, in consequence of evils and designs which do and will exist in the hearts of conspiring men in the last days, I have named you, and forewarn you, by giving unto you this word of wisdom by revelation." This is a solemn, even frightening warning, but in the promise we are offered protection. To understand, we turn in the Old Testament to the account of the 10 plagues of Egypt. Moses and Aaron were negotiating for the release of the Israelites from bondage. 9 plagues were called forth upon Egypt, but none of them softened the Pharaoh's heart. The Lord said then unto Moses, "Yet will I bring 1 plague more upon Pharaoh, and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Under a strange requirement, Israel was to escape this judgment. They were instructed to take a lamb, a male of the first year, without blemish. It was to be slain and prepared as a feast. They were instructed to take of the blood of the lamb and strike it upon the doorposts of the houses. "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you." And it is recorded that the plague of death was visited upon Egypt from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon. But Israel, because of the blood of the lamb, was spared, for the plague of death passed over them and did not slay them. Remarkable, is it not, that in addition to the other promises offered to those who observe the word of wisdom, we find in the last verses of the Revelation this additional promise, "And I, the Lord, give unto them a promise, that the destroying angel shall pass by them, as the children of Israel, and not slay them." Can you understand now, my young friends, why we stress so strongly this principle? It is not, certainly not, to drive any of you from activity in the church, but that your blessings may be full. Some have said of you who are young that you are attracted to the low standard, to the easy course, to the careless way. I say they who would sell youth so cheaply do not know you. Some of you who are young, and many perhaps who are older, have unwittingly been tampering with, or have become addicted to, the use of alcohol, tobacco, or hot drinks. Probably you feel estranged, even rejected, by the Lord and by His church. If you only knew how He yearns to open the floodgates of blessings, how He cries for you as did David for Absalom, "My son, my son." We make no apologies for holding to a standard that the Lord has set. In this ominous day when spiritual strength is so desperately needed, we invite all youth to come where a standard is kept, where the challenge is great, where much is required, where the gospel is lived. "I bear witness that God lives, that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Lamb of God, crucified that man might live." Though we suffer mortal death, through the blood of the Lamb we have amnesty from spiritual death if we keep the commandments of the Lord, "for it shall pass over us and not slay us." This witness may come to you even in your youth. On the basis of this personal testimony I commend to you the word of wisdom, which is not only a code of health, but quite as much a key to spiritual wisdom, a principle with a promise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.